Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller. Of course, we're live for an hour tonight, and in about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by the comic who stutters. He's not the stuttering comic, but he's the comic who stutters, John Cooperman. He'll be on the show as my guest co-host for the night tonight, and we'll be talking about all kinds of things like the Oscars and the Super Bowl and anything else that we want to talk about. But before we get to that, it's been a while since I've given you some updates here, so I was in the recording studio yesterday all day slaving over a hot microphone working on the title track to my album, and I just got the rough mix back on it tonight. I mean, probably like 20 minutes before the show went on the air, my producer sent it over to me and says, hey, take a listen to this and tell me what you think. I nearly fell out of my chair and did backflips, and at this age I should not be doing backflips, but it turned out so incredibly stinking fantastic. I can't wait for you to hear it. I wish I was able to do a sneak preview on the track for you tonight, but I can't do it. I've been, I don't want to say banned because I'd be the person banning, but I've promised that I'm not going to do releases or sneak peeks of any of the music until the album's actually finalized. It's registered with the Library of Congress. It's with BMI and blah, 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 blah. So I can't do that other than to tell you it's a great dance track. The analogy I'll give you from a sound standpoint, it sounds like, you know, you go back to those like classic 1970s, late 70s theme songs by like the Love Boat, you know, soon we'll be making, okay, you get the idea. That's how this track turned out, except it's at 138 beats a minute, which means it's ready for the dance clubs, and it is an awesome song. So excited to share that with you in the coming days and weeks. As you know, in Southern California, we've had some crazy weather the last couple of months. And crazy for us is anything that's not 75 and sunny, at least here in Huntington Beach. And right before Christmas and then right before New Year's and as recently as last week, we had some wind and rainstorms that came through here that really, you know, when you're not prepared for it and life is, you know, sunshine and rainbows every single day of the year, it knocks you for a loop. And I have this tent. Or I say tent, but I bought this canopy at Big Lots. You know, it's like these big outdoor canopy things that you put in the backyard, and you know, this is big enough to hold a, you know, army of 10 or 12 or something like that if you want to sit and eat. Well, I use it as covered storage and also to put my elliptical so I can go work out in the morning. And the reason I need a covered elliptical is because I can't read my iPod and play my games and read the newspaper on the iPod when I'm on the elliptical if I've got the reflection. So I had to go get a tent. So I got the tent. It's been fantastic until the first storm came right before New Year's. This is the bad storm. The rain was okay, but it was really the wind that did it the first time. It was New Year's Eve, on I think it was a Tuesday, about 10:30 at night. I'm all snuggled into bed. It is pouring down rain, and the wind starts picking up. And where I live, it is kind of like this wind tunnel effect for anything that actually comes through. And I hear this crazy. It's like lightning hit the house or something like this. I thought, oh, I don't even want to know, but I better go check this out. So I get up out of bed. It is freezing and pouring down rain. Go out into the courtyard, and the canopy tent is on the roof. So the winds are that strong that it's blown it. I've had it, you know, kind of sandbagged down, but apparently not enough. And it's up on the roof, tangled in the phone lines and the power lines. It's just a giant mess. Managed to get it down. Didn't get killed, thank God. And thought, okay, well, you know, we'll get this all sorted out. Well, it took a good week, just, you know, from timing and everything else that was going on to get it sorted out, got it cleaned up. And then, boom, a second windstorm came through and kind of knocked it silly again. Well, at this point, you know, everything in there is like a shambles. And so I went to Home Depot and I got some shelving and got everything organized. And in the process realized, you know, I've got this, like, wardrobe outside. Long story behind that, I won't bore you with that tonight, but I've got this wardrobe outside that is that the owners of the property had, and I've been using it for storage and that type of stuff, but I'd really seen its better day, and it was kind of falling apart, but it was, again, inside this undercovered tent area. And so I went and got I went and got another really heavy-duty shelf at Home Depot on, Thursday? So it must have been Tuesday night. And my roommate Marcus and I, we went to IKEA afterwards because, you know, what do you do at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night? You go to IKEA, of course. But I was looking for, like a wardrobe to put my suits and stuff in. So I spent $30 on this really cheap-ass wardrobe thing. But it's absolutely exactly what I need. But I'm the person that when I get something, I don't actually put it together because if I want it to actually stay together, you don't give me a screwdriver or a power drill or anything like that. You have somebody else do it. So today Marcus, out of the kindness of his heart, went and put the wardrobe together. So I hung up all my suits, put them in plastic bags, and did everything you're supposed to do for kind of like storage. And so I've pretty much got my life organized here, and it's really a nice feeling. But also, it's a little creepy on the other hand because I don't really have anything that's that disorganized. And one of the things that I did after this last year of moving and, you know, kind of downsizing my life was getting rid of everything. But you find when you get rid of everything and you go to a much smaller space, you don't have that much, you don't have many places to hide stuff. So anything that you do have, it has to be a must-have, and it needs to be organized well. Well, I think I'm finally at that point. So I spent a good portion of the day doing that. But I also got a lymphatic massage. If you've never had a lymphatic massage before, I'm going to encourage you to do it. My chiropractor/wellness guru, Dr. Shannon Connor, she's been on the show several times before, and she, in her last go-rounds of doing a Zydo scan with me, if you don't know what that is, I can tell you about it some other time, but you know, it scans your hand and it tells you all the things that are wrong with you. Well, she goes, well, your lymph nodes aren't draining right, so, you know, here's a little homeopathic thing, and I thought, well, that's great, but what else can I do? So I've had, now this is a third in a three-week period of lymphatic massage. And usually when I go into Massage Envy and have whoever, you know, beat me up for my hour and a half, you know, it's great. But a lymphatic massage, it's a completely different process. You're barely touched, and it's just very, very light pressing on the skin, you know, like just barely like tapping. And it relaxes you like you cannot believe. So I had one of those today to kind of help, you know, get the process going because I want to make sure that when John is on the line here in just a couple of seconds, that I'm going to stay awake for the entire hour. So that's kind of what I did today. If you want to call in and talk to John, who is going to be our guest host tonight, the hotline number is 323-657-1493. We're live for the next hour. We've also got the chat room open on the Blog Talk chat room for Rated G Radio. And as always, you can send me a note on Facebook during the show as well. If you'd like a special shout-out, like Wesley in Mississippi tonight or Michael back in Virginia, we've also got Gail Carline up in Placentia tonight. We've got Dana in Northern California, Catherine in Boston. I hope you're staying out of the snow, and Deb in Cincinnati. So those are just some of the people who are pinging me right now. Thanks for listening in. And for the first time ever, John Cooperman, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you?
Oh, yes, I'm so happy to be here. Yeah, this is very exciting, especially when I heard about basically everything going on with the Massage Envy and everything. That was really good. I'm relaxed right now.
Oh, yeah, I'd be totally relaxed hearing about a massage, John, versus actually getting a massage. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
So for everybody who's listening in tonight, this is John's first time being on the show, and I asked him on the show as a guest co-host, not just as a guest. I actually wanted him here for the entire hour because he is one funny guy, and if you've not had the opportunity to hear him before, I'm going to encourage you to hear him on his Funny and Die site, on his he's got a Facebook page, he's got Twitter, he's got his website and all of those things, but we're going to talk to him about all of that. And my hope is that starting in March, we're going to have John come back and be a regular contributor for a Hollywood segment. But I had to get him on the show first, so welcome to the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself, John.
Oh, my. Where to begin? I don't even know where to begin here, Garrett.
Well, you know, there was a sparkle in your father's eye, you know, a couple of years ago.
Oh, we don't want to go that far back, but what can I say? Basically, it was on your site, I know. Basically, if you don't know, like, I have a little bit of a stutter. It's not major or huge, but sometimes it gets really bad. And I've had it since I was really small, you know, since I was a kid. And when I became older, it got a little bit better with lots of speech therapy and what, basically, and what have you. You know what I mean? So.
And so when did you decide that you wanted to get into comedy?
Oh, gosh, at a young age. When I was really little, I just basically, I watched all these shows. I watched Carson and Letterman, Steve Martin. Yeah, I just loved them all. And when I was a kid, even though I had a horrible speech impediment, I knew how to make everybody laugh. Now, looking back, I'm not sure if they were basically, like if it was at me or with me, if they were beginning to laugh at me or with me, I don't know. But you know, I was always very weird as a kid, I guess you can say. But not a weird, like, oh, my God, weird. But, oh, he's funny. He's got a lot of funny in it. But my thing was I was always afraid because of my speech. I was always afraid to really be vocal. I was always afraid to be completely open about it, you know. And I think as I became older, it was a little bit easier. I accepted it more. But it's something I have to struggle with every day. But with my stand up, and if you want to help me out there, feel free.
No, you're fine.
I'm
you're awesome.
No, but like in my sets, I make note of it, I make fun of it, and then I try to move on with something else. Now, because if I made my whole set, about my stuttering, I don't think people would want that.
You'd be one-act show.
Like,
yeah, you'd have no depth.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, what else do you got? You know, it's like if I'm big or fat, I don't want to make my whole set, oh, I'm fat, blah, blah, blah. You
right,
because
then it's like, oh, my God,
me.
That's all he ever talks about.
Exactly. And so I try not to pigeonhole myself into that, but if it gets really bad, then yes, I'll mention it. And what's really amusing is sometimes it's hard. Like if I say a punchline, it's hard to say the punchline. Which, when you do stand up, that's the whole thing. You
that's
know?
The whole
and
thing.
Like, that's the whole thing. It's like I can say my setup nice and fluently, and then when the punch is ready to come, it's like a struggle, and then I'm playing charades with the audience. They're trying to figure out what I'm going to say. And it gets amusing, you know, so I'm entertaining that way. It's like, what's he going to say? Is he going to say rich? Is he going to say poor? Is he going to say salt? Is he going to say pepper? What the hell is he going to say, you know? So
do you think that, and I'm asking this, because we've talked about this a little bit, but not a lot, but do you think that you took to comedy when you were a child, or, you know, it resonated more with you because of the stuttering, or do you think that it was, you were just like, okay, I'm just naturally funny anyway, and I just happened to stutter?
I think I was naturally funny, but I had a stutter, and nobody really knew it except my family and close friends. When I was a kid, I was really, really shy, obviously. It was hard for me to talk. And people always thought, oh, he's just so shy because he can't talk, whatever. But once you got to actually know me a little bit, you would find me mildly amusing. And so that's what I was banking on. And as a kid, it was really, really hard because, you know, the other kids tease, obviously. And,
sure.
I always use my speech as a way out of it. But it was really hard. And now, actually, I have a 2.5-year-old at home, and she speaks better than I do. And I'm so happy because stuttering is actually hereditary.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes, it is. But it's mostly in males. So, yeah. But now she's beginning to speak sentences. She's very smooth with her words, and it's a relief off my back because I didn't want her to have the same issues I had when I was a kid. Now, she's healthy, which is the most important thing, and if she had a stutter, well, that's okay. There's lots of others, basically, to worry about in the world.
Absolutely.
Other things to worry about. But she's wonderful, but sometimes when I have to read to her, she heckles me a little bit. She goes, dad, 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 dad. I'm like, that's not cool, honey. That's just not cool.
Oh, holy cow. Oh, my gosh. So, okay, so let me ask you this, and I'm asking from somebody who just doesn't know. That's me. I know nothing.
Yeah.
So when you were growing up, what type of education or therapy or whatever you would call it did you get to kind of help you combat the stuttering? Because it sounds like it at least today, you know, it kind of comes and goes a little bit.
Right. Well, that's because I'm a little bit nervous, too. You make me nervous.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
no,
I make everybody nervous.
But it's you have a voice. No, but it's like you have that voice. You have such a nice voice. It's for radio. Me, it's just like someone walked over here and slammed me in the nuts. I have a horrible voice. It's so high.
Well, thank God you're funny, John.
Well, yeah, you know, I hope so. But it's like I have a high voice. Everyone goes, it's weird, whenever I make a call, it's like, ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm like, first of all, I'm a guy. Second of all, I have a stutter. And, you know, and then it gets bad. And then they're like, oh, there's a horrible reception on the phone. Your cell phone's awful. I'm like, no, it's not my cell phone. Okay, it's me. So just lay off.
Yeah.
But as far as, like you said, education, when I was 17 years old, my speech was okay. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. And I basically learned how to talk again at, there was a speech school SC over here, you know, Southern California.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
USC. There we go. It was hard for me to say U, Garrett. Did you get that? U.
Well,
a
lot of people have a hard time saying USC these days, but that's a different story.
I'm not a big fan. But anyway, no. But it was great. I was there for about a month, hardcore. It was intense. And when I went out of there at 17 years old, my speech was 100% fluent. Just great.
Wow.
And then slowly, yeah. And slowly but surely, it came back. They teach you things, you know, and I know how to be fluent, but sometimes it's very hard. You have to blend your vowels. You have to properly breathe from the diaphragm. But it was mostly blending your vowels, like you're singing, but you're actually speaking. But you got to blend your vowels. But sometimes I would sound like a robot because I would talk like this and I would talk like Tom Brokaw. And people would be like, what the hell's wrong with you, John? Nothing. What's wrong with you? And it's like, that didn't work well. And
you could have turned that into like a $50 million a year gig on NBC. But
I know. If I knew back then what I know now, Garrett, I swear. But you know, but that's the problem. When you try to blend your vowels and that, sometimes it sounds a little mechanical.
Okay.
So I had to pick my poison sometimes. That should I sound more like more breathy, more like that, or should I just be me? And if I'm going to have trouble saying some words sometimes, so be it. Yeah, you know, and now that I'm older, it's like, who cares? I don't care anymore.
Yeah, who cares? They're going to like you one way or the other. So, yeah, exactly. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, is it okay to hear me? Like, is it hard to hear me? Or
No, it's just like we're sitting having coffee. So,
okay, yeah, I just want to make sure I'm loud and clear. Okay.
No, you're loud and clear, John. Speak up. No, you're great.
All right. Now that I ask, of course, we're halfway into this. I wonder if you can hear me. So, I wonder if you can.
It's like 20 minutes into this. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's one of the things. Yeah. I've heard about every fourth word, and then they're stuttering. So I don't have no clue what's going on.
Right. I was
going
to say, No, it's my phone. It's not me. All right.
Yeah. And I don't buy that because you just told me about the time when the people were calling you, John, and you're like, no, it's me. This phone. Yeah. No, you're great.
Exactly.
So who are some of your comedic influences? I know you kind of talked about like the talk show host, but when you're out on tour and running around, do you have people that you run into going like, holy cow, these are just like my idols?
Chris D'Elia, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's extremely funny. I love him. He's one of the rare comics out there that makes me laugh. Chris D'Elia. He was on the Whitney show.
Love him.
Last year, the year before. Yeah, very funny and very nice man. He's probably one of the only ones out there that makes me laugh hard, makes me laugh out loud. It's hard to make me laugh as much as he does right now on his tours. Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Then, or I think this is a good question. You may go, Garrett, that's the question stinks. So as a comic, what do you find funny when you're listening to people? Because, you know, it must be like, you know, going to Dunkin' Donuts and eating donuts all day. After a while, you're sick of them.
It all depends, man. There's a Conan writer who's on my shows all the time, Brian Kiley. He makes me laugh. He makes fun, and he misdirects so well that you don't know what he's going to say next, and he makes me laugh. He is fantastic. If you can ever have him on your show, he's just so funny. And
well, hook a brother
really
up here.
Brian Kiley, yeah, very funny man. If it's a misdirect, that's what I love. And really, I think that's the whole, like if you see monologue jokes, that's what they try to shoot for, is the misdirect. Like, we think you're going to say one thing and you say something else we didn't think of. That's
right.
The shock value, that's what makes it funny. You know, that's what makes it very funny.
So when did you actually start getting into comedy, though? You know, because there comes a point where you say, okay, I'm going to get up on stage and I'm going to tell some jokes.
Yeah, I actually tried improv first. I wanted to do improv because I was a big fan of Saturday Night Live, as I am now still. I love Saturday Night Live, and I wanted to try my hand at improv. So I took a year of training at I.O. West in Hollywood.
Okay.
And they were wonderful. And like I said with the instructor when I first was there, I said, listen, I have a bit of a stutter. You know, my scenes may not be great. He's like, you stutter? That's fantastic. I'm like, what? He's like, it's your gift. Use it. It's your gift. I'm like, it's not a gift. He's like, it is a gift. Use it. Embrace it. And that's exactly what I did. And most of my scenes in improv, I must say, I was pretty fluent. And when I walked off of my scenes, sometimes in my head I would say, how did I say that word? I can't say that word most of the time. And I really loved improv. It was a lot of fun. We had an improv troupe, but a lot of the times when you have an improv troupe and you want to rehearse and practice, there's always one person who won't show up or this or that, they flake, and so it gets really hard. So I thought I would try stand-up because that's what I always wanted to do since I was a little boy. And I thought, all right, let me try it. I'm going to make fun of myself a little bit. Everyone else could enjoy it, have fun, and so far, knock on wood, it's been okay. I've only been heckled probably 7 or 8 times.
And how many times have you been up on stage?
About 7 or 8 times. No, that's a joke. let's see. I'm celebrating my 7th year, actually.
Wow.
In comedy. Next month, it will be exactly 7
Congratulations.
Years. Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
So what was your first gig?
The Comedy Store. It was over there, the Comedy Store. The Belly Room was my very first one. And I said to myself, if I suck, at least I tried. And if I was successful, I would love it. And knock on wood, it was a supportive audience. I went up there. I was a little nervous, you know, as I am with you right now, because you have such a wonderful voice, Garrett. So,
but, okay, John, I already told
right,
you earlier
you
today, the check is in the mail. The check is in the mail.
Okay.
Okay,
good, good.
Okay, good.
So when I went up there, I was nervous at first, and then the ball was rolling. You know, I did about 7-8 minutes, which seems like an eternity when you first walk up there. But it was a wonderful experience and something I'll always remember.
So when you did that, did you get off stage and then suddenly say, I found my calling in life? Or what was going through your head?
I walked off stage, I put my hands on my knees, and I bent over. I thought I was going to hyperventilate, to be honest, because I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Yeah, no, I believe you.
It was so nerve-wracking. And it's really nerve-wracking when you're standing in front of 60 people or 70 people it was that night, whatever, and you've got to make them laugh. It's easier to make a room of drunk people laugh because they're already loosened up. But if they're sober,
right,
it's a little hard. So I'd like to say they were kind of in the middle. So
well, that's
the
perfect spot then.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But it was a positive experience, which is all I wanted. And since then, I've just been basically trying to be out there, trying to get noticed. And it's really hard nowadays because there are so many of us out there, comics-wise. And as far as stuttering comics, there's actually a few out there. So, yeah, I'm not the only one.
Do you have, like, a band of brothers? Do you get together on holidays or something?
We get together and we try to talk to each other. Yeah, we do that once a year. there's a woman in San Francisco. Her name is Nina G. She's getting out there a lot. She has a stutter. There's a guy out here, Drew Lynch. He's a kid. He's like 22 years old or something. Very funny man. Very funny kid. And what's weird about him is he stutters because of an accident that happened. He was hit.
Really?
He was hit in the throat with a softball.
Oh.
And apparently it paralyzed the vocal cord or something. And he has a stutter now, and apparently he never had one before.
Wow.
But yeah, so his is a horrible accident, but he's making the most of it, and he's always on the road. Very funny. Very, very funny kid. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to talk about other comics more, but you are my guest co-host tonight, so I want to talk more about you.
Yes, we don't need to talk about them. We don't need to talk about them.
Yeah, if you want to bring them on and interview them, that's great, John, but tonight's you.
No,
so
no. It's all about me.
You. The spotlight's on you. That we put in new bulbs right before the show, so you know you should be sweating just a tiny little bit. But for everybody who's listening, we've got John Cooperman on the line. He's the comic who stutters, and if you want to call in and ask him a question, the hotline is open now for the next half hour. We're live, 323-657-1493. We've got the blog talk, the Blog Talk chat room open. You need to save that five times fast.
See, look at that.
Yeah,
like,
I do it all. No, I do it. I wish that were the case. I do this all the time. But on the show page, if you're listening, whether it's live or in Technicolor, because, of course, you can always listen to this on demand, on the show page there, you can click to see John's website. There's also a link to John's Funny or Die site on the Funny and Die site.
Twitter,
and you can also follow John
Twitter.
On Twitter as well. You'll
My
also
Twitter is
see.
Big. It's big.
How big is your Twitter, John?
That's a personal question, Garrett. But it's really big. It's really
okay.
big.
Do you tweet all the time?
It's all good. It's all good.
Okay. Okay. And we also have a couple of dates that John's going to be appearing. February 12th, he's at the Comedy Palace in San Diego. February 22nd, he's at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. And on March 27th, he's at the Ice House in Pasadena. So contact those venues for tickets and go take a bunch of your friends and help support the cause. Like I tell every guest that's on here, we're here to sell a little merch and move a little tickets and sell some music and books and things like that. So everybody go out and support John. If you go to get a chance to go see him, please do so.
Oh,
so
that
go
was
ahead.
One thing I wanted to say to you. No, that was one thing I wanted to say to you. I know you have a bunch of people on the show with songs and music. I actually sing too. So one of these days, I'm going to have to head in there, and I'm going to have to sing for you.
There we go. Do you have a CD out?
What have you. I don't. I can make one for you.
You
know,
if you make a CD.
I'll just make one and sing for you.
Yeah, it can be like a mixtape or something like that. But if you do that, what will happen is I'll put you on the Friday night dance party, and then we'll feature your music for an hour.
Oh, I can rock your socks off.
I'm telling
you. I
what do you like
so
to sing?
Mostly George Michael and the Monkees.
Oh, come on. That's an answer I would... Okay, so what's your favorite George Michael song then?
Come on. I love George Michael. I actually met him once.
Did you really?
Very nice. I
need
did.
To know all about that. I'm not kidding you.
I loved, it's so funny because when I was a kid, I was seeing somebody, and she made me like him. At first, I'm like, oh, I don't like his music. I didn't like Wham that much. And she said, well, if you ever tap this, you got to listen to George Michael with me. I said, all right.
Where's the cassette player? I'm popping it in now. Yeah.
Exactly. And so we listened, and I became a huge, huge, huge fan of his music, and I've seen him so here's the thing. He was out here in 2008,
right?
Played the Forum out here,
first 25 Live tour.
That's right, the 25 Live.
He played there, and then he was in Phoenix the next night. I saw him on the second night of the tour.
Oh, you did? Oh, no, because the following night, I think he was in Anaheim. Because in Anaheim.
Okay, well, maybe it started in San Diego and Phoenix or something. I don't know. But anyhow,
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And so I
feel so much closer to you now, John.
and so I saw him, and my buddy and I, she loved him too. And I said, we need to sneak in the after party. And this was at the Forum. This was before they renovated it all now. You know, it just looked all crappy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew where the Forum Club was. And we walked there. And they said, you're not allowed in here. We said, okay. We went around them and snuck in the back. And we went in this long hallway. And we went through a kitchen. And before we knew it, we were in the party, and I'm thinking, he's not going to show up here. He hates this kind of crap. And then he shows up, and my friend, she was in love with him, she just went right up to him. I snapped a picture of them, and then he was mingling with other people. And then he was mingling with others, and I said, you know what, I got to go up to him and take a picture. I will kill myself if I don't. And because I know so much about him, I know that he hates the parties. I know he hates the socialize and the media and all that crap. So I went up to him, and I shook it. And I went in front of Sharon Stone. Sharon Stone was right there. She
and
was
you
ready
pushed
to
Sharon out of the way.
He was ready to pounce on George like a rabbit on a rock. And I went right in between them, and I said, hey, nice to meet you. I'm a huge fan. And I'm whispering this in his ear because it's so loud.
Yeah.
Saying this in his ear, and I said, listen, yep, I know you hate this crap. I'm a big fan of yours. Is it okay if I take a picture with you? He goes, yeah, of course, of course. And we did. We took a picture. I shook his hand, met him. I said, Sharon, he's all yours. And that was, and yeah, that was it. And it was really cool. It was really cool because, you know, he just has probably one of the most amazing singing voices I've ever heard. And I'm sure you would agree. I mean, he's just an amazing talent.
Well, I think that my admiration for George Michael is about another month-long series every night, so we can skip that in any detail. But I've been a big fan ever since, you know, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, so there you go.
Exactly, and it's so funny. When I took the picture with him and I posted it everywhere on my Facebook, of course all the smartasses were going to say, did you meet him in the bathroom? I'm like, you know,
oh, of course.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. He's George. I love him, okay? Leave him alone.
Yep. Yep. Now, here's my challenge for you tonight, John. You need to go find that picture and send that to me, because that's the picture that's going to be on my wallpaper on the computer from now until ever.
It's on my Facebook. It's on my Twitter and Facebook. I'll send it to
you,
though, Garrett.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm a big Monkees fan, too. I'm a big Monkees fan, too, so know that.
So your favorite George Michael song and then your favorite Monkees song?
Oh, with George, there's just so many. I like Freedom 90. I like that one. Freedom 90 is good. I like Fast Love. I like that. Fast
Always
Love.
A good
although
choice.
Although that CD is so sad, but it's a wonderful CD.
I think, okay, so now that we've expressed our admiration for Mr. Michael here, here's my big challenge with him is that this opportunity, he's going to release an album once every, you know, million years now, because he can.
Right.
And
right.
He has, let's say, 10 or 12 tracks on the album, and you've got like two good songs, and the rest of them are like these bossa nova hits or these Woe Is Me Trail of Tears, and it's like, if it's A Careless Whisper or Kissing a Fool, I would give you that. That's great.
Yeah.
Or
that's
you give us a Fast
stuff.
Love, or you give us a whatever. That is great. But now I've got like nine songs on this album that totally suck. What were you doing?
They were very sad songs because his partner at the time had HIV or something.
And had passed away.
And he passed away, and he wrote all those sad songs about him. It's like, oh, my God, I want to kill myself right now.
It's like, great that you write the songs, but don't put that on an album. We want to actually buy your music.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I like the songs, but they're just extremely sad. And I know he was in a weird place. Yeah. I can't believe we're talking about George Michael for 10 minutes here. But that's
I know.
Great.
Okay.
I love him. I love George.
Next. Okay, next, Monkees. Why do you like the Monkees?
I have a weird taste of music, Garrett. I like the
Monkees. I love it.
You know, I like the Monkees. I like Nirvana. The Doors, the Beatles, obviously, Elton John.
Now, can I ask you, and you don't have to answer the question, but how old are you?
Yeah. I am 44.
Oh, you're a baby. Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense then.
I'm an old man. I'm an old man.
Well, if you were a dog and you were 44, yes, you'd be very, very old. But no, you're a baby. That's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're fine. Okay, so you like the Monkees, though. So it's George Michael and the Monkees. Maybe we can get them on a reunion tour.
What's that?
We can get them on a reunion tour.
Monkees have been on reunion tours lately. So,
not with George Michael.
Not with George Michael. That would be interesting. That would be interesting. He can replace Davy Jones, who died.
Right. And then George can actually sing Monkey with the Monkees.
He can sing Monkey with the Monkees. He can shake the maracas, the tambourine, replace him, Davy Jones, and
It'd
it would
perfect.
Be awesome. I think we have something here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we
could be their agent. We'll take 8.5% each.
But you know what was weird when I was younger and I told like women who I went out with, I like George Michael. I like the Monkees. They're like, you're weird. I'm like, yeah. And it was weird. Oh, this was something I wanted to talk to you about. When I went out with women when I was younger, a lot of them didn't even know I stuttered because I hid it so well. There is a way to hide it. You don't talk much, and women love it when you just listen, Gary. You just sit there. They talk about all the horrible things in their life. You shake
you
your
go,
head
mm-hmm,
and go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you go. Mm-hmm. They say you're such a good listener. It's like this point,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You shake your head. Women just want to be listened to, okay? And once you listen to them, it's like a card into their pants, is what I'm saying.
It's the secret of life. There you go.
It's the secret of life. The Bermuda Triangle, you want to learn about it, you just sit there and listen. You be patient. The prize will be coming. Literally.
And everything else is MasterCard or something like that. There we go. So,
well, yeah.
We have 20 minutes left in the show. I can't believe the time is flying by so quickly. We have not even gotten to any of the topics that we were going to talk about tonight. Do you want to chit-chat some more, or should we dive into some of the topics?
We can dive into topics. Is there anyone on the phone? Is there anyone who wants to talk to me?
We've got a bunch of people that have called in, but in order to actually talk to you, because I can go to the phone lines and embarrass people, but they want to talk to you, they have to press 1. That signals, that sends a little, like, bat hotline thing to me, and it lights up right above my computer. And then I go, oh, we have area code 909 wants to talk.
No, I was just wondering how that worked, if they call in and just want to harass me or make fun of me.
Yeah. They do.
I mean, we
can do that. We actually do have a caller, that has pressed the button. Now they've unpressed it, but I can try it and see if they want to talk to you. Do you want to take a call? I'm living dangerously tonight. Let's try it. Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, so 909, I see you there. Do you want to ask John a question or say hi?
John, this is Andre.
Yeah. Hi, Andre.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's Coop. This is Andre.
Oh, Andre. What are you listening for? Isn't there more important things you have to do?
No, man. I'm watching the Lakers about to get their ass kicked, so I thought I'd call you while you're on your show.
Right on.
I was gonna say, aren't you watching the Laker game? Yeah.
I am. I figured I keep missing your comedy shows. I keep saying I'm going to come, and then something comes up. And so I figured, okay, at least I can call into your show today.
You see, you know what's neat here is me and Andre have known each other since we were since I was 12 years old, right, Andre? Since we were in elementary school.
Yeah, well, 12, 11, whatever fourth
grade.
Yeah,
11 or 12 years old.
Wow. So, Andre, tell us a secret about John.
let's put it this way. I never would have thought he'd be a comedian. I never thought that.
Really?
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Now, John, do you have something that you can share about Andre that it might be a little unseemly or funny tonight?
No. I love Andre to death. We used to play basketball together a lot when we were kids. And,
see, that's a good story.
John Watts.
What's that, Andre?
I said I played. You watched.
Oh, what? No. I played. You know I was good. And I know you saw the video recently where I was switching the baskets.
I still say that video was edited. So.
No, wasn't edited. Pure me.
Okay. Well, I'm in. What was that, 2 or 3 points in a row? I don't know. That could be some good movie. So.
Yeah, it was a good movie. All right. Well, right on.
There we
go. I'm glad you're listening, man. You're so nice. I appreciate that, buddy.
Andre, thanks for calling in tonight. I hope you enjoy the rest of your night watching the Lakers lose.
Yeah, I'm predicting they're going to lose by 22. I don't want them to, but that's what I'm thinking.
There we go. Right on. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Andre. Have a good night.
Thank you, Andre.
That was fun. You always get, you get your fan club calling in here. So we had a bunch
cool.
of things that we wanted to talk about tonight, and starting with something that's coming up Sunday. What's going on in your world this Sunday?
What is going on? Why am I blanking out right now?
There's this thing with some balls in Arizona. And
oh, the Super Bowl. Yeah, what am I doing? Yeah, the Super Bowl.
It's good thing you're pretty.
My friend got me all riled up. So
I'm telling you, yeah, that's cool.
But the Super Bowl. Are you excited about the Super Bowl, Garrett?
Well, I like watching football. I don't really get it. I love watching it, though, and I don't really have an interest to learn the sport, but I'll sit there and watch game back over back over back over back over back, especially if they've got cool uniforms, okay? So that'll tell you about my level of commitment. But I like the Seahawks,
right,
and I like the Patriots, and it just seems like every Super Bowl for the last 15 years has had the Patriots or the Jets in it, so I'm really glad to have Seattle come in and kick their butts for, you know, and have Seattle win again. So I'm excited
not
for that.
Jets. No, not
or,
the Jets. You're thinking of
or the,
Jets.
You know, the
They're
Texans
terrible.
Or the Dolphins
oh, the
or the Browns.
Oh, right.
You know, it's one of those real winning teams.
Oh, man, the Browns are in the Super Bowl every year. Yeah.
Every year. It's like the, yeah,
every
it's the Browns
year.
Versus whoever. Exactly. So I'm glad to see we have the Seahawks.
Yeah. No, I like Seattle. I like the Patriots. Tom Brady, you know, he likes to deflate the balls, I guess. That's why they won the last game. He's
so what is that all
balls.
About? I don't understand this. You're my sports expert.
I guess you get a more of a handle on the ball if it's not as pumped up.
Okay.
But usually when I talk about deflated balls, I talk about Bill Cosby, you know. We were talking about Bill Cosby. That's a little joke, Garrett. Bill Cosby. I mean, how happy is he about the balls? Now they're not talking about his balls.
Oh,
my
God.
About balls. Love Bill Cosby, but what the hell is he doing? What's he doing?
I don't know.
You know?
That whole thing just, I don't know.
I
just
don't
have
know.
To shake my head.
I hope it's not true, but, you know, when it's not only one person saying it, it's so many people saying it, it's like, why would everybody make up the same exact story? That's just
right.
Weird.
Well, and
they're coming out of the woodwork now.
And that, to me, just seems just a little on the creepy side. I guess the thing, and if anything happened to any of those people, shame on him, and I hope all of the things that legally should happen to him do, okay? So I need to say that first and foremost. But it just seems odd that it took however many years for these people to come out and say whatever it is they're going to say. Now, I think we've heard rumblings of things happening in the past, but is it just the power of the Cosby empire that has silenced all of these people like Tom Cruise in a Scientology meeting? Or,
right.
I mean,
well,
that to me just doesn't make sense. And at 77 or 78 to have these things finally come out is a little staggering.
I think they're afraid of him. You know, you're afraid of the power in Hollywood. And back in the 70s, of course, if something happened, it wasn't like it is now. If something happened, you say something, they are scrutinized and they are ridiculed in public's eye. And back then, it was sort of, right, I hate to say this, but it was sort of the norm. You know,
ugh.
If you wanted to be like a woman in Hollywood, you know, sometimes something like that would happen and they wouldn't say anything. And I think that even happens now today still, but we don't know about it. You know, I don't know, man. It's really, really frightening sometimes when you think about it.
It's frightening to think that people can get away with doing that, and there were enough people that knew about whatever was going on to get it covered up, because it wasn't just like Bill Cosby gave, you know, put a roofie in your cappuccino and, you know, see you in the morning.
Right.
You know, there were people, if this actually took place, and I'm not involved enough to make any type of educated statement on it, so I'm not.
Right.
But there were people that helped make this okay, and I have a real problem with any of those people.
Yeah. And, you know, I know he was in negotiations with NBC to have another show. And, you know, the executive said, we don't want to associate with Bill Cosby anymore. The proof is in the pudding. That's That's a little joke.
John.
I know.
Oh.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
It's horrible.
Proof
but
is
that
in
was
the
funny.
Pudding. I am sorry. I am sorry. Yeah, but, you know, I had to lighten it up a little bit, Gary.
Way to bring it home. Okay, I love that.
Yeah, so I had to bring it home.
We've also got something coming up. I don't even know the date, but I know it's coming up pretty soon. It's the Oscars. What's your feeling on
the
that?
The Oscars. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love the Oscars. Not so much now. Are you into the Oscars much now? Or?
Nah. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I should be. I really am not, though.
Yeah. And I guess the big thing with the Oscars now are the snubs. Like Jennifer.
Right.
Jennifer Aniston was snubbed. This is the second snub. I guess the first one was Brad Pitt was her first snub. This is her second. But I'm sure she's been snubbed so many times. She's made a lot of horrible movies. And then she makes one sort of legitimate movie and we're supposed to nominate her for an Oscar? No way. I mean, that whole thing with the movie, with the interview movie, how it was banned. Remember when the interview was
right.
banned? Right.
Yeah.
We should have banned
How many times have you seen the interview now?
I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, and I have no desire to. You know,
I have no desire to see it.
It
like,
just seemed
I have no
like,
desire to see Jennifer Aniston movies. I have no desire.
Can I tell you this? I've got the screenwriter for Cake on the show this coming Tuesday, and I actually went to the theater this past Friday when it opened to watch the movie, and I kept waiting for Rachel to come out from Friends and say, okay, you know. And she was actually brilliant in this movie, so that's my only serious comment that I'm going to make. She was spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then I need to see it because she's made so many horrible movies over the past several years. I mean, I loved her in Office Space. That's probably the only one I've really loved her in is Office Space. And something about Polly, Along Came Polly.
Along Came Polly,
That
was cute, too.
Yeah, Along Came Polly. That was very cute. I liked seeing her in her panties. I enjoyed that.
Well, and as a woman who's quickly approaching 60, she looks great.
She looks fantastic. It only looks like she's had a little work done.
Yeah.
Courtney Cox looks like...
Oh, my God.
You know, a sledgehammer to her face, you know?
What is wrong with Courtney Cox? You're on the inside. You know all of these things.
Well, apparently they tried to mold her face, and it went terribly wrong. And apparently the doctor walked out right in the middle of her operation, and she never fully recovered.
Oh, my God. You think he was taking a selfie?
Taking a selfie, yeah. So I'm sure everyone's listening to this going, he's not that funny, and I'm supposed to go pay good money to see this guy? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, you're hysterical, John.
Oh, well, thank you. At least you think so, Garrett.
So... You can find out when John is going to be hysterical next, February 12th at the Comedy Palace in San Diego, February 22nd at the Comedy Store in Hollywood, and March 27th at the Ice House in Pasadena. Go to
Twitter.
And your Twitter. And John is hysterical on Twitter. He's huge on the Twitter.
Spell out my name. Spell out my name.
And actually,
it's not.
I made it easy for the listeners. All I have to do is click on the link, and it takes them right to your Twitter page, and then it's just clicking one other thing, follow. So we make it really easy
follow.
Here for...
Yeah,
follow John on Twitter, because he's huge.
Follow.
His Twitter's huge.
It's huge. It's huge. You know, and Angelina, she was snubbed at the Oscars too, Angelina Jolie.
Was she now?
You know, everyone thought she was going to get nominated for Best... director, was it, for one of those movies?
I think so. She's got something that's going on right now raising all kinds of... Yeah,
and,
awesome.
And she was so upset that she went on a shopping spree in Cambodia. Like, yep, I'll adopt that baby, I'll adopt that. I mean, she just went all out. She's like, I'm going to go on a big shopping spree and take all these kids home with me.
There you go.
By God, she did. More power to her. Love her.
I guess we're going to say God bless Brad Pitt, so, you know, he's going to have diaper duty for another,
Brad
you know, 15
Pitt.
Years. So there we go.
Love
John,
him. Love him.
We're getting to the close of the show here. Can you believe an hour has gone by?
No, this has been fun. This has been fun.
I told you,
it's
an interrogation. It's really hard hitting. It's very uncomfortable, and here we are an hour later.
Yeah.
So, before I let you go tonight, go ahead, real quick.
No, I was just gonna say, and we spoke about 20 minutes on Wham and George Michael. You can't go wrong with that. That's
you can't go wrong. Well, I'm hoping in March when we're doing our entertainment segment with you that we can maybe even go 25 minutes on George Michael and Wham. I mean, that would be, we can strive.
That would be great.
That would be great. It might be just an audience of you and me, but it would be great.
Would be great.
Before I let you go, do you have any special shout-outs or people you'd like to say hi to tonight before we end the program?
Just to my daughter, Mia, who's probably not listening. She's hopefully starting to go to bed. I'm not home right now. I'm in a parking lot. Because if I was home, she would be on the phone with me the whole time, my daughter. She's just really attached to me.
How cute is that?
She's just fantastic. And my wife would be annoying me. Is the interview over yet? Are you done? I'd be like, no.
Oh, you know what we're going to do is we're going to get them on a three-way call next time, and we're just going to find out the real life, what really goes on at home for John.
Well, you can find out why she's so in love with me, my wife, because the chicks dig the stutter, you know. Once they see the trembling lips and vibrating tongue, they're like, she wanted me to say the alphabet somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to
get
it. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Well, we're not really, terribly G-rated here, but we get the drift. So everybody, I'm going to tell you, it's been a pleasure having John Cooperman on the show tonight. He's the comic who stutters. He's going to be appearing February 12th again, Comedy Palace in San Diego, February 22nd. What did I say? January 12th? February 12th. It's all February. February 12th, Comedy Palace in San Diego. February 22nd at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. March 27th at the Ice House in Pasadena. He's huge on the Twitter. Follow him there. Check him out on Funny or Die, and also go visit his website. For everybody else, we're going to be live tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Patrick Allen Casey is returning to the show, and we're going to be showcasing his album, 40 Days and 40 Nights. He's also celebrating his birthday, so if any of you want to call in and wish him a happy birthday, I encourage you to do so. I'm going to play this song that we're going to hear also tomorrow night. It's called Home, and it's his hit single off of that album. We'll be back tomorrow night. John, hang on the line for just a second, and we'll see you tomorrow.
place I'll ever know. No matter where I go, I feel like home.
Listening to Rated G Radio.